ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, it's Sam Hawley from ABC News Daily, the podcast that brings you one big story affecting your world each weekday in just 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, affordable housing seems like a pretty simple concept, right? But it is a lot more complicated than that.
Join me for ABC News Daily. Find us on ABC Listen.
This podcast was produced on the lands of the Awabakal and Gadigal people.
I personally find fishing extremely boring. But sometimes interesting things do happen. For example, in 2024, a group of fishermen were somewhat surprised when a cluster of cruise missiles flew right over their heads. Those missiles were at the start of a very long journey.
They've shot cruise missiles from a ship in the Caspian Sea without warning.
So we've seen Russian warships in the Caspian Sea firing long-range missiles at Ukraine.
Now, the Caspian Sea is nowhere near Ukraine. For a Russian warship to hit a Ukrainian target from the Caspian Sea, it's almost a 1,000-kilometre shot. It would be much easier to fire at Ukraine from the Black Sea, but the problem with that is that the Black Sea is no longer safe for Russian boats.
This is the moment Ukrainian sea drones strike and sink a Russian warship on patrol in the Black Sea.
That shows to Putin that he's not safe in the Black Sea at the moment.
Kyiv says it's downed more than 80 Russian ships in the strategic waters.
For Russian ships, the Caspian Sea is much safer to access than the Black Sea. The only connection between the Caspian Sea and the open ocean is through a large Russian canal system, which Russia can use to move naval vessels in and out. None of the other four countries which border the Caspian Sea, Iran, Azerbaijan, Turkmenistan, and Kazakhstan, have a canal system, meaning that the Russian Navy can essentially dominate that waterway, totally safe from Ukrainian attack. Or at least that was the case. Until recently.
Ukrainian drones hit the sea base of the Caspian flotilla of the Russian Navy.
Ukraine continued its assault as its armed forces struck a Russian warship in the Caspian Sea.
Ukraine has been launching these attacks on Russian vessels for a little while, but in late July this year, they did something a little bit different.
President Volodymyr Zelensky confirming a Ukrainian attack on an Iranian ship in the Caspian Sea.
Now, this attack on an Iranian ship is strange because last time I checked, Ukraine is at war with Russia, and Russia and Iran are different countries.
Kyiv's weekend drone attack on an Iranian ship and Russian targets in the Caspian Sea has marked the first direct link between the wars in Iran and Ukraine.
Ukraine says that Russia and Iran have been supplying each other with weapons using cargo ships on the Caspian Sea, assisting each other in their wars against Ukraine, the US, and Israel.
If Iran, from the first year of the war, gave new technology to Russia, it was Shahid drones. Mm-hmm. They gave thousands of these drones first year of the war. We have to be honest, Iranians and North Koreans already attacked us.
Now, this decision by Zelensky to attack Iranian shipping is very interesting, because it coincided with a sudden increase in support for Ukraine from some unexpected places.
There's been a significant shift towards Ukraine in some parts of the MAGA world.
This is a change of heart among a group of people who previously did not like Ukraine at all.
Volodymyr Zelensky, Ukraine's president and emerging dictator.
This, for example, is what MAGA influencer Laura Loomer used to say about Ukraine.
He regularly likes to call Putin an authoritarian, when he himself is no better and is in fact in many ways even worse.
And yet this is Laura Loomer in July this year being very polite indeed when she sat down to chat with Zelensky in Kyiv.
I really appreciate
you
taking time to meet with me.
Thank you so much.
I've come to realize that I was bamboozled by Russian propaganda.
Hey Having looked closely at this, I think what's happening here is Ukraine is taking advantage of a unique moment in the history of their war with Russia. A moment that might change everything. It's a strange story involving a factional war inside the MAGA movement and Russian influence operations. And it will show just how important it is to seize an opportunity when it's presented to you. I'm Matt Bevan, and this is If You're Listening. Now, I'm going to talk about Laura Loomer a bit here. And before I do that, I want to make it clear that she's got some pretty abhorrent views. For one, she describes herself as a proud Islamophobe, but also says,
I don't believe that Islamophobia is real. I believe Islamophobia is a hoax.
I'm not going to go into all the terrible things that she said about Islam, but put it this way. By 2018, she had apparently said enough of them to get herself banned from Twitter for life. In response, she chained herself to the front door of Twitter headquarters and called out its CEO, Jack Dorsey.
What Jack Dorsey is doing with his egregious double standard by allowing for verified, hateful liberals and leftists and jihadis to spew their hate and violence on social media while banning a Jewish conservative journalist like myself and millions of conservatives all across the country. He's trying to stifle speech in this country.
After continuing to pull terrible stunts and say terrible things, Luma was banned from other platforms too, or to use the popular term of the time, she was deplatformed. In 2020, she ran for Congress in Florida and lost. Her phone kind of just stopped ringing at that point. Nobody was interested in working with her. But then someone else got kicked off social media too.
Twitter and Facebook deleted President Donald Trump's extensive social media profiles after a violent mob stormed the US Capitol.
The US president was deplatformed after the January 6th attack.
This censorship is unlawful, it's unconstitutional, and it's completely un-American.
Trump left the White House unsure of what would happen to him next.
Goodbye. We love you. We will be back in some form.
And suddenly, Laura Loomer started getting calls again. Well, she got at least one call from the Russian propaganda network, RT.
When I was deplatformed because the big tech social media companies wouldn't allow me to have access to social media, RT started reaching out to me and asking me to come on their show. And they said, why don't you have a byline on RT? And you can even write for RT. I never took any money from RT. I was never paid. But I felt, wow.
She started writing articles for them and appearing on air as a pundit.
We will be back in some form, President Trump said there. Yes, Laura, the question is, what does that actually mean?
Well, discussions about a potential third party. And if there's one person in the country who's capable of, crushing the Republican Party, it would be Donald Trump.
And it appears that the attention she got from the Russian propaganda network did the trick, because within a week, she was posting on her Telegram channel that Putin cares about protecting free speech more than the Democrat Party. Their media is better than the American media when it comes to reporting on censorship. And that big tech is rigging elections more than Russia ever did.
How crazy is it that my own government won't allow me to, they're not fighting for me when the big tech social media companies are deplatforming my campaign, but RT will let me talk about these issues, right? And then you start to get kind of goaded into saying things like, oh, well, maybe they care more about free speech than my own country.
RT wouldn't be around forever, though. When Putin ordered the full-scale invasion of Ukraine in 2022, they were sanctioned by the US government and had to shut down their American operations. But that didn't stop Laura Loomer from parroting Putin's argument that Ukraine was a fascist state and needed to be denazified.
When I hear Putin say we need to denazify Ukraine, I say, wow, yeah, actually, that is pretty accurate.
But she wasn't alone. Heaps of right-wing influencers started to argue that President Joe Biden should give up U.S. military support for Ukraine because it was too expensive.
We're giving $200 billion to Ukraine. We've paid enough in the wars in Europe. We're not a European power.
The U.S. is weaker
measurably weaker because of our support for Ukraine in this war.
I'm very much a person that from the very beginning has said F Ukraine.
Ukraine is the greatest threat to this nation and to the world. We should rescind all funding and financing, pull out all military support, and we should apologize to Russia.
In an effort to assist some of these influencers, RT secretly funded a company in the US called Tenet Media, funneling $10 million into the pockets of various American right-wing influencers like Tim Pool and Benny Johnson, who had made anti-Ukrainian statements.
Ukraine is the enemy of this country. Ukraine is our enemy.
Ukraine, with America's help, has become a terror state. Ukraine is precisely the kind of country that we swore to fight against during the global war on terror.
The influencers apparently didn't know that the money was coming from Russia, but cash is cash, and the more cash you have, the further you can spread your anti-Ukraine messages. We did a whole episode on this story a couple of years ago. Quite a crazy story. The thing that wasn't clear at the time back in 2022, but is extremely clear now, is that these right-wing influencers, people like Laura Loomer, Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, and Tim Pool, they're not always in agreement with each other. I mean, they could definitely agree on a few things. They were united around the idea that Joe Biden should stop funding Ukraine. When the October 7th terrorist attack happened in Israel in 2023, they were also basically unified around the idea that Joe Biden was doing a bad job of handling the war in Gaza. They all thought the solution to both problems, Ukraine and Gaza, was to elect Donald Trump as president again.
The moment Trump becomes president, he's on the phone with Putin, he's on the phone with Zelensky, and he says, "Stop fighting, we're going to talk." The fighting stops. The war's over.
If I were president, it would have never started. Look at what's going on in the Middle East. This would have never happened.
October 7th never would have happened if Donald Trump was president.
But the one thing they didn't agree on was America's relationship with Israel. And it was this particular divide that right-wing influencer Tim Pool identified early on.
We're certainly seeing conflict on the right. Personalities that were typically more in support of Donald Trump now feuding with other conservatives and people who are pro-Israel. And boy, is it all just breaking down in rather shocking ways.
Tim Pool identified that there is a clear, very pro-Israel faction and a separate faction of people who are not exactly anti-Israel, but more isolationist. They're critical of America entering into any foreign wars and handing over huge amounts of money to foreign countries, including Israel. Now, Laura Loomer, who is on the very pro-Israel side, describes the guys on the other side, people like Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens, like this.
All of these woke-like neo-Nazis colluding with the radical left jihadist Muslims and going around and chasing Jews and evangelicals on the streets of America with drones. I know it sounds like a sci-fi movie, but this is where we're headed.
Yeah, so obviously she's not a huge fan of the people that she calls the woke Reich and openly calls them neo-Nazis. In most cases, these people are not neo-Nazis. So for our purposes, we're going to refer to this group as the isolationist faction. So Loomer is the pro-Israel faction and her opponents are the isolationist faction. Now, the divide between the factions was mostly hidden before Trump took office again. It became more and more obvious through 2025, and eventually it spilled right into the open when Trump joined Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in attacking Iran in February 2026. The pro-Israel faction were keen to defend Israel and back this war, so their takes went like this.
President Trump really took a decisive action that needed to be taken now in this moment because he's saving millions of lives.
Certainly there are many people that are in favor of Donald Trump striking this country, taking out their leadership.
President Trump is the most courageous commander in chief in modern American history. There is no question about this.
We have an Islamist Nazi enemy that wants to build nuclear weapons to blow us off the face of the earth. I understand the Jew haters who want you to believe that this is Israel's war. And to them I say, go to hell.
While the isolationist faction saw this move as the US entering into yet another foreign conflict, And their takes went like this.
Donald Trump has very clearly betrayed the American people. He is very clearly not the commander of the armed forces. Bibi Netanyahu is.
Everybody knows what this is. Everybody knows they're fighting for Israel.
It's such a betrayal.
You just look at Trump and you're filled with disgust because you are a demonic force. You are a liar. You are diabolical. You are a traitor.
The split is pretty subtle. I hope you picked it up there. Now, both sides started calling each other very defamatory, racist, and often anti-Semitic names and accusing each other of being traitors, but I'll spare you that for now. But the key thing that Laura Loomer noticed was that RT, the network that had rescued her from obscurity back in 2021, was supporting the other side of her factional fight.
And they're all propping up these clips. They take clips of Joe Kemp. They take clips of Candace Owens. They take clips of Megyn Kelly. They take clips of Tucker Carlson.
RT was using its accounts on YouTube, X, and Telegram to boost the opinions of those in the isolationist faction, the same way that they'd boosted Laura Loomer's opinions in the past. Now, there's no secret why this was happening. Russia is an ally of Iran, and the isolationists were against the US military attacking Iran. So their views aligned with Russia's. Laura Loomer was confused.
Oh, wow. Russia Today really seems to be like transforming their media operation into a Clipper account for the woke right.
But here's the thing. RT hasn't changed its position at all. Since it was founded, the network has been a vehicle for promoting criticism of the US government. The difference is, Laura Loomer is now kind of part of the US government.
The president called me after the strikes. We talked for about 20 minutes on the phone. And it's really interesting, you know, just chit-chatting about several things.
Hi, Laura. Boy, you are something. What spirit you have. Laura Loomer. Thank you, honey, for being here. Appreciate it.
Now, Loomer started doing some soul-searching, and she realized that Russia was an ally of Iran. And perhaps getting help from a Russian propaganda network that was allied with Israel's mortal enemy might be a bit problematic.
Because then I started to see Putin entertain the idea of selling nuclear weapons, selling missiles and selling drones to the Iranians for the sake of attacking the United States of America. That was enough for me, honestly. That was enough.
She was having a bit of an identity crisis and started to reconsider everything, including her position on Ukraine.
I thought, what are people going to think of me? I've been so anti-Ukraine for so long, and I have parroted these talking points thinking that I was, you know, saying the right thing and not recognizing how, you know, as a conservative or as a Trump supporter or just as an American citizen, how I was being emotionally manipulated by propaganda online. And so I felt a little embarrassed.
Then she accepted an invitation from the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, to visit his country.
How was the trip to Kyiv, by the way?
The trip? Yeah. It was very long. It was a good experience. I got to see a lot of the destruction when I was coming in. So it gave me a good ideas to, you know, how much of Ukraine has been destroyed by Russian missiles and drones.
Okay. The question I posed at the start was, how did Laura Loomer go from calling Zelensky an authoritarian who commands a Nazi militia to talking to him about her lovely train trip to Kyiv? Well, the reason I told you this story in full is so that you'd see what happened here and what didn't happen. What happened was Laura Loomer found herself in a MAGA factional fight over the war in Iran. Russia supported her isolationist opponents, so she decided to support Russia's opponents. I want to be clear, it's not like she finally saw the light. Ukraine didn't conduct a secret influence operation to get her to take their side either. This is pretty much just petty factional stuff. The interesting element is Zelensky saw this change of heart as an opportunity to help the situation in Ukraine. The war in the Middle East is occupying the majority of the Trump administration's attention, and they're losing the support of a lot of their traditional allies. If Ukraine can make it seem like they're on the Trump administration's side of that war, then it could lead to a rapid shift in sentiment, which could help their own war effort. For Laura Loomer, it only took a couple of months for her opinion to totally change.
I don't think that the Ukrainians and your office does a very good job at messaging how supporting Ukraine could be America First or how it's beneficial for America's national security.
And while she was in Ukraine, Luma explicitly linked the Ukrainian and Iranian wars by talking about Russia's involvement in both of them.
Russia is providing Iran explosives materials, and they're interchanging and sending each other weapons and materials for weapons, especially Shahed drones being supplied by Iran to Russia so that they can attack and kill Ukrainians. And then simultaneously, Russia's sending them, you know, basically the explosive materials and the combustible materials so that they can make bombs and explosives to murder U.S. soldiers that are currently fighting in the war with Iran.
Now, President Zelensky has been trying to make that point about Russia and Iran sending weapons to each other even more clear by attacking those ships in the Caspian Sea, which make that exchange of materials possible.
President Volodymyr Zelensky confirming a Ukrainian attack on an Iranian ship in the Caspian Sea.
He also emphasized the fact that they are willing to help the US materially in the war in Iran, while other US allies in Europe refuse. He's reported sending the US evidence they collected that Russia has been taking satellite pictures of US Army bases in the Middle East and sharing them with Iran to assist with Iran's drone and missile targeting. And with Luma's help, Ukraine has been promoting its ability to assist the US with drone production.
I think that Ukraine is really leading the way in a lot of the drone innovation and a lot of the drone technology. If you look at the numbers, the United States is on track to produce about 300,000 drones this year, and Ukraine is about to produce 8 million.
The messages Luma and Zelensky are sending about Ukraine's military usefulness is starting to have an effect on other MAGA influencers too.
I'm not a big fan of Ukraine. I think their government is filthy. But I will stress this. We've got an escalating war here. There is no argument against U.S. victory.
Luma says she spoke multiple times on the phone to Trump while she was in Ukraine, and reportedly it's starting to have an effect.
We are told that Donald Trump has kind of changed his tune in the last few weeks and over the last month or so as Ukraine has started to shift the balance of things in the war.
The question is, will any of this work? Well, the conflict in Ukraine has been basically frozen in place for 4 years. Neither side has moved much. The Trump administration's early attempts to get both Ukraine and Russia to sign a peace agreement where both sides just keep the territory they currently occupy and call it a day have failed. Many European countries are still providing finance and weapons to Ukraine, but direct American support was cut off when Trump took office and has not restarted. Meanwhile, on the ground in Ukraine, the domestic situation for Zelensky is difficult. He's been facing protests in the street over his decision to sack his young, innovative defense minister, Mykhailo Fedorov, back in June, because of an internal conflict between Fedorov and the chief of the armed forces. Civilian casualties have been increasing throughout 2026, with nearly 300 killed in June alone by Russian attacks. Ukraine is not a passive victim here either. All year, they've been sending drones deep into Russian territory to attack oil and gas infrastructure, often creating enormous explosions in Russian cities. Russia claims that these attacks have killed more than 700 civilians so far this year, including 7 tourists killed on a Black Sea beach. Now, all of this is to say that the sudden shift from Trump and Team MAGA comes at a very good time, because Ukraine could really use America's help. But there's a catch. While all this has been going on, the US's missile stockpiles have apparently been depleted by their war in Iran, which means they can't afford to supply Ukraine. Reuters has reported that they've virtually run out of certain types of munitions. It's a bit of a catch-22 for the Ukrainians. They rely on the US for missiles, but also the US running out of missiles might mean that Trump is more keen to buy their drones. So if Ukraine is able to convince Donald Trump that helping them will help him in Iran, then suddenly Ukraine goes from being an annoying distraction to a genuinely useful ally. And that might just give Zelensky the advantage he needs. Because here's the thing.
The full-scale war in Ukraine has now been going longer than World War One. So they'll take whatever opportunities they can get. If You're Listening is written by me, Matt Bevan. Supervising producer is Kara Jensen-McKinnon. It's produced by Adair Shepherd. Next week, we're chatting to Jonathan Swan from the New York Times. He's one of the journalists with the most direct access to Donald Trump. And along with his colleague Maggie Haberman, he's written a new book called Regime Change about the first year and a bit of Donald Trump's second term in office. They've got some extraordinary stories about what Trump has been up to, and Jonathan has some great insights into where this presidency is going. I'll catch you then.